it makes us money. I'm gonna be very transparent. It cost us a ton of money to do this, but we believe in it that much because we truly believe in the freedom that comes when believers get together. And there's something very, very unique about this retreat, about God's hand on what he wants to do for his people, through his people, in his people, for his kingdom. This retreat is not about us. It's about you and God. This retreat is truly about you having a deeper walk with Christ, getting connected to Christ, so you can come and do what God has called you to become, who God's called you to become, and walk the walk that God created you to walk. It transforms my life every time, and this will be like my, I don't know how many we've had. This will be like my eighth or ninth one, I don't know, something. And I cannot wait to see what God has for you. But more than that, I can't wait to see what God has for me. If we want it, we'll go get it. If we see a pair of shoes, ladies, not so much men, you've seen the shoes I wear, that doesn't apply to me. I was just having that conversation with Derek in the back, and I wear old men's shoes now because they're comfortable. I just don't care. If they're comfortable, that looks, my wife said, I can't believe you're wearing that. I said, I can't believe I haven't been wearing them my whole life. Feels great. Feels great. But we'll find a way to put money where we want it. If we want that TV, all right, if we want that trip, if we want to do this or we want to do that, we find a way to do it. I'm telling you, this is an investment that you cannot afford not to make. The enemy is going to do everything he can. He's going to say, you can't afford it. That's too much money for what they're doing. I promise you, when you get through the accommodations, you're going to say, I'd pay $250 for that. Okay? The enemy is going to say, hey, maybe you can go next semester. Maybe this isn't your season. Maybe you can just wait. The enemy is going to, he is going to invite and encourage you. Yes, the enemy will encourage you to find every reason in the world to say, you know what, I just can't make this happen. But I guarantee you this, if on this sheet of paper that says we're giving away bricks of gold, you just have to be there Thursday through Saturday, everybody in this room would be there, right? I would. I'd be sitting right now saying, I ain't gonna be late for that. I'd give away bricks of gold. But what we're asking you to come be a part of is way more valuable than any silver or gold. This is eternal change. I've been in bondage. Give me freedom over money any day. Give me purpose over status any day. All right? Give me potential over career any day. So I'm challenging you and I'm encouraging you because I know what it will do for you. Because I know what it's done for me and I know what it'll continue to do for me. Do not miss out on this unique opportunity, this experience. All right? And listen, if money is that big of a factor to you, talk to your table host. Show us some effort. We will work with you in this. We want you there. And I promise, if you'll trust me in this, God will meet you in a unique way. It will not return void. All right? And I guarantee you I won't have to give you your money back at the end. No doubt in my mind, okay? All right, well, we're going to get rolling this morning. All right. On week three, last week, somebody tell me what we talked about last week. Huh? Alignment. What stuck out to y'all about last week? What? Nobody? Yeah, speak up. Caroline, what stuck out to you? You wasn't, say that again, because I'll be coming through here. There's no sense. You wasn't letting the Holy Spirit do what? I love that. You just said some really key words. I wasn't allowing the Holy Spirit to lead me. Whether we know it or not, we do not have our lives figured out. We were not designed to sit in the captain's seat of our life. I've seen what it looks like when I drive the truck for Justin. It's when I'm in the captain's seat. We weren't designed to sit in control of our life. We were designed to give up control. We were designed to follow, but to follow one thing. And I'm going to give you a very sobering statement right here before we start talking about walking in the Spirit. And no, listen, I know it says walking in the Spirit. We're not talking about some weird stuff in here. We're not going to do that at Timber Creek. When it's talking about the Spirit, it's talking about the Holy Spirit. I just want to bring clarity to that. It's just talking about Jesus in us. That's all we're talking about. But listen to this very sobering statement. One of two people is in the driver's seat of your life, and it's not you. It's not you. Either we allow the Spirit to lead us, or there's another option. And that option, it may look like we're doing it, but it's the enemy. Because God says, you're going to be led by one of them. There's going to be a master in your life. And if it's not me, if it's not Jesus, if you're not led by the Spirit, listen, you are led by the enemy. You are led by Satan. It's biblical. I can show it to you. There is no in between. So what we want to do tonight is we want to begin. We've talked about identity. Week one, we talked about this is who we are. This is who God says he is. This is who God says we are. And this is who God says we can become. Last week, we talked about aligning our life in Christ. Well, how do we align our life? Just like, how do you get a car aligned? Well, I don't know how to do it because I am not a mechanic. If you get me to align your car, you will have to have new tires. But if you take it to an alignment shop, and they put it on the rack, and they put it in this alignment machine, it dials in your car to run down the road straight. So it's aligned. Imagine if it wasn't. You'd be in the left lane, you'd be in the ditch. Some of y'all are in the left lane in the ditch, and there's nothing wrong with your car, you just can't drive. Amy Seaman. But an aligned car runs down the road the right way. It stays within the parameters. It stays within the lines. Those guidelines on the road are to keep you safe. So what I want to do is I want to teach you one of the ways to do this, one of the biggest ways to do this. And it's called walking in the Spirit. So let's get going. We're going to have some key scriptures. Was this nobody's phone? Is anybody missing a phone? Maybe Keisha's? Okay. Just making sure. So here are our key scriptures in Galatians. All right, we're gonna pull up. Well, I want to look at Galatians 5 and 16. 5 and 25 is a great reference for you. I just wanted to give you some referencing scriptures. But I want to look at Galatians 5, 16 through 18. And this is, guys, this is a roadmap. This is a beautiful roadmap that God has laid out for us. All right, it says, if you walk like this, I have victory for you. All right, he says, I don't want to just talk about what you need to do. I'm going to give you a plan. You know that the Bible is the greatest instruction manual ever. But this is what Galatians 5 and 16, so let me set my timer for 2 hours. Nobody in here got that. Come on. Galatians 5 and 16 through 18, this is what it says. It says, but I say, walk habitually in the Holy Spirit. Look at the root word. Look at the root word of habitually, habit. He's saying, make this a habit. Walk in me as a habit. Daily walk in me. All right. It says, walk habitually in the Holy Spirit. It says, seek him and be responsive to his guidance. And then you will certainly not carry out the desires of the sinful flesh, which responds impulsively without regard for God and his precepts. Pastor Jeremy talked about it this morning. Sin's not the action. It's the rejection of the authority of God. When we choose sin, we say, God, I'm in control. We say, I'm going to follow me. When we follow me, we're following the wrong guidance. It's rejecting God's authority. And this says, for the sinful nature has its desires, which is opposed to the Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, the presence of God in us. And it says, and the desire of the Spirit opposes the sinful nature. It says, for these two, The sinful nature and the spirit are in direct opposition to each other. They're continually in conflict. Pastor Jeremy did this illustration this morning of all of these lies over here speaking to you, all of these truths over here speaking to you. And he's saying, who has the microphone? You have the spirit of the enemy. It is real. Let me take that out. If you do not think the devil is real, he is as real. He's more real than we are in the sense that he's a spirit. He'll never die. He'll suffer for eternity, but he'll never die. He is real. One of his greatest tools is to make you think he doesn't exist. If he can get you to think he doesn't exist, he can begin to steer your path. But the great thing about it is the Holy Spirit, the comforter, the counselor, he's all real too. And so you have the Spirit of God and you have the spirit of the enemy, and they're battling over you every single day. The enemy's trying to rob your worth. It's trying to get you to go down this road, and the Spirit is tugging over you over here saying, no. There's a better way. And walk in me. Walk in my spirit. Walk in truth. Walk in compassion. Walk in care. And look at the results. Because these two are always in conflict with each other. It says the reason why they're in continual conflict is so that you, as believers, do not always do whatever good things you want to do. But if you are guided and led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Well, what does that mean? What that scripture is saying, look, some of the good things that we want to do, these flesh-pleasing things, listen, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having fun. Jesus doesn't either. Jesus had a good time. Right? But what he's saying is, he said a lot of the things that we want to do that are opposing to God's law, opposing to what God's calling us to do, he says, when you walk in the Spirit, when you truly, daily choose to walk in the Spirit, he says, he doesn't say to be perfect. That's an expectation that'll never be met by only but one. And he's already accomplished that. He's not saying be perfect, but he is saying, wake up and choose me. Choose to walk in the guidance of my word and the guidance of what I've laid out for you. And he says, when you do that, when you choose me, this is where salvation is so powerful. When you choose me, all right, when we receive salvation, all right, when we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, the Spirit comes into our life and he is now the King of our heart. All right, he sits on the throne of our heart as our master, as our guidance, as our comforter, as our counselor. It says he's a gentleman. All right, it says that you can actually bring sorrow to him by the way we walk. The Holy Spirit has feelings. He has emotions because it's Jesus within us. He's saying, let me lead you. And he says, you're not going to be under law to the law of sin. He says, you're free from that. So when the enemy tells you you're a drunkard, you're not. When he tells you you're an adulterer because of your past, but you say, no, I'm freed from that because of what Jesus did. When the enemy tells you, that you're defeated, and you say, no, I'm an overcomer and I'm victorious because of what the Spirit did, what Jesus did. This is walking in the Spirit. And we're fixing to look at some prime examples, some easy step-by-step things to teach you how to walk in the Spirit. Number one, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Number one, it means consistently give the Holy Spirit the opportunity to guide me in every area of my life. Consistently give the Holy Spirit. Do you know that we have the power to give the Holy Spirit permission? That's powerful, guys. That's called free will. It says, I perfectly do it. It says, I consistently. Listen, I've served in the church all day today, and I've already messed up. All right, I can be in the church house all day. I'm going to mess up. All right, it's not take out the level of the expectation of perfection. We'll never meet it. He's saying, consistently strive to know me more. Consistently strive to make better decisions, to walk in obedience and walk underneath my protection. He's saying that to consistently choose me over you. And listen, guys, that scares us a lot of the times because we are a human existence. We are a culture of control. We're even scared to give God control. And He created us. So we can give the Holy Spirit permission to give Him an opportunity to guide us in our life. How do we do that? We're going to look at that in just a second, but how do we give the Holy Spirit the opportunity? He's the Holy Spirit. It's through surrender. It's surrendering our will, saying, I choose you, even when it don't make sense, because a lot of times it doesn't. But if it made sense to us, and we can write it out on a tablet and all look right, anybody would be able to do it right. And it wouldn't take much faith. Number two, what does it mean? It means I daily choose to follow God's word, not my own will, desires, and plans. I daily choose to follow God's word. I daily choose to seek out the instruction manual of God. I daily choose God's word. Listen, I'm not telling you to be a Bible scholar. I'm not telling you to spend 2 hours a day in the Word. I'm not telling you to spend 30 minutes in the day. Some of y'all need to start with 5. But if there was an instruction manual that says, if you'll do this, this, and this, at the end of it, there's physical riches. You would read that book every single day. God has a book called the Bible that says if you will read this every day, at the end of this thing, there is eternal riches that you can't even begin to fathom. The thing that we put value on here, God walks on in heaven. Think about it. It says He walks streets of gold. We spend most of our life to make money. I'm not saying making money is wrong. We all have to have it. We all have to have jobs. But the very thing that we put such a high value on, God uses for His roads. What He walks on. So when we daily choose to follow God's word, we are making investments into our eternal bank. The greatest instruction manual ever. Who's ever read a how-to book? Nobody in here. Yeah. All right, guys. Who throws instructions away when they try to put something together? How does that work out for you? Who reads the instructions? And I still can't do it. I read the instructions, just still be backwards. Every time I put them stupid shelves together from Walmart, I read the instructions. When I set it up, I've got the unpainted side out. I got to take it back apart. I threw one of them in my yard the other day, brand new. I was so fed up with it. I just threw it in the yard. But I can tell you those instructions led me astray, or I'm just not very smart. It's probably the lighter side. But I have never, ever, ever read the Word of God and applied it to my life and it failed me. I've never. Some of y'all in here are dealing with stuff right now and you're spinning your wheels trying to figure it out. And God says, I got a plan. He says, I got a way. He says, I just need you to trust me. Begin to study my Word. To not just read it, but to absorb it and to apply it to your life. Number three, it says, I deny the desires of my sinful flesh. I deny the desires of my, this is tough. This is tough. All right. Our flesh is so weak that when something is enticing in front of us, all right, and when I say enticing, I'm not talking about a cheesecake, but that's, you know, that's the same thing. It's obviously I haven't done a real good job with that. But it's the desire to choose something over God. It's the desire to pursue unrighteousness over righteousness because it feels good, because it temporarily fulfills a area in our life, but it's temporarily. All right, when we choose to deny our own, that's a very, very tough process. We do not have the capability of doing it on our own. It's impossible. But through Christ, I promise, if anybody's flesh was weak, it's mine. I promise you, my week was as weak, if not weaker, than anybody's in here. I struggled with so many things in my life. I still struggle with a lot of things. And one of the hardest things to do is to deny that, say, God, I'm going to trust you in this, even though it hurts. Because I know if I would just do this briefly, it would at least give me some relief for a second. That's ringing a bell in here to somebody tonight. If I could just take that drink, it'd get me till tomorrow. If I could just take that pill, I don't have to think about this. If I just jumped over here to this relationship, right, maybe it would ease the pain of the one I'm in right now. Denying the flesh is tough. But I can tell you the Word of God brings so much life, so much light, so much strength to that. And I'm going to tell you one of the greatest ways to help you deny the flesh is Christian community, godly community. We're going to launch groups in October. Get in a group. Lead a group. Get in a group. One of the greatest ways to do it is accountability. I have to have accountability in my life. I have strategic people placed in my life, strategic groups that I can go to in confidence and talk to, because I still struggle with some things in my life that if I don't allow God to overcome, they could consume me again and destroy me. I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to me. I know how hard it is to deny the flesh. But when we do this, it's not about everything that we can do. We're going to look at the next one. These are the results from it. So just real briefly, it says, if I consistently give the Holy Spirit the permission to lead my life, I daily choose God and I deny my flesh, this is what happens. It says, I find it easier to obey God. I find it easier to obey God as my heart and mind are renewed by Him and my desires are aligned by Him. Romans 12 and 2 says this. It says, don't copy the behaviors and the customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. When we deny our flesh, when we allow God to lead us, when we daily give Him permission to have our life, listen, it becomes easier to obey Him. But listen, you're going to get some pushback, because anytime there's change, there's friction. All right? Friction creates movement. All right? That's how a locomotive works. That's how a car works. There's friction involved that creates movement. When you begin to move toward God, expect friction, expect resistance from the enemy, because he does not want you to experience the life God has for you. And he doesn't care how he distracts you. He doesn't care how he robs from you. Whatever it takes to get your eyes off of following Jesus, he'll do it. He'll even use the Word of God against you. Because I promise you, Satan, here's the difference between us and Satan. Satan knows the Word of God in and out, I promise you. He can quote Scripture all day. He just don't know how to obey it. He can't obey it. You can quote Scripture all day, guys. If you don't follow it, it's useless. I can go to the gym all day long. I can open the door. I can go in that joker, and I can even sit on one of the weight benches or the treadmill. I can sit on it all day long. It will do me no good. No good. I will not leave that place changed. We can quote Scripture all day. You can put on your bumper sticker. You can put it in your office, on your car. Listen, you can spread it, whether you know it or not, you can spread the Word of God all over Facebook. It is useless if you don't apply it. It's absolutely useless. But when we begin to do these things that God's calling us to do, not only do we find it easier to obey God, but it is pleasing. Man, there is nothing greater than being faced with circumstance, being faced with an opportunity. Listen, sin's not the problem. It's just the bait. The problem's in the bite. But man, when we choose God's way over our way, the peace that comes on the backside of that, when we have that opportunity to talk about the person to the left or right of us, well, you won't believe what she was doing today. Y'all reason y'all ain't laughing, because y'all know. I can't believe she is wearing that today. Did you see what she put on Facebook? Did you see what he's doing? Did you see who he was with? Listen, guys, gossip is murder. If you don't believe me, I can show you. You're slandering your neighbor. One of the toughest things that we can do is get out of our will and step into the will of God. But it's that first step that's the toughest. Because when we truly surrender, God says, all right, I'm in control now. I'm back in the seat. This is the result of that. Number five, I get to experience the benefits of the abundant life Jesus died to give me. I get to experience the benefits of the abundant life Jesus died to give me. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says this. It says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these things. When we follow the Spirit, these are the fruits of our spirit. Listen, you can tell an apple tree by its fruit. You've never walked up to a peach tree and say, that's an apple tree. Apple trees don't get confused. They know they're an apple tree by its fruit. Listen, believers, God above all, but everybody around you can tell if you're a believer or not by your fruits. They can tell by the way you treat your wife, talk to your wife. They can tell by the places you're willing to go and be part of. If someone peers into your life that doesn't know you, when you're walking in the Spirit, they should know there's something different about you without not even knowing you. That's why self-control is so powerful. That's why kindness and joy. You can do this. It's not paying for the woman behind you. It's not paying for a coffee and being like, check mark that one. But it is the ones that have wronged you and hurt you. I'm not telling you to forget, but find that place in your heart where you say, I've got to forgive because I need to be free. And when Jesus looks at them and they look at me, Jesus doesn't see their sin. He just sees their heart. And thank God, because if Jesus saw my sin, I wouldn't be here. Jesus had to see beyond my sin. I have the most deranged, twisted relationship with my mom that you could ever imagine. She drives me crazy because she's never been a mom. And still to this day, I reach out to her and I try. It is not in her. She don't know how to do it. And it breaks my heart, not for me anymore, but for her. But you know what? The other day, I was talking to my brother. I said, I'm done with mom. I'm not doing this with her no more. I said, it's 41 years, and she has done nothing to benefit my life. And my brother reminded me, and he said, hey, he said, it's not about what she does, it's about you. It's not about how she responds, it's about how you walk. And can she see Jesus on you when you call her? Can she see Jesus in your life? Because it may be the only thing that transformed her eventually, I don't know. But what I'm saying is, guys, when we walk and allow God to transform our life, we walk with such uprightness. We walk with such, not pride, but humility that looks like we're proud, but proud of being joyful, proud of walking in generosity, proud of not walking in shame. We're proud to be a believer. We're proud to serve others above ourselves. We get joy when others succeed. We get joy when we get to serve others, or there's compassion from us to people that the world says they don't deserve compassion. We did not deserve the compassion of Jesus Christ. What did he say on the cross? He looked up at God and he says, God, forgive them. Because why? Say it out. Say it loud. Come on. Say it loud. He says they don't know what they're doing. They were sticking spears into the Creator. They were cramming a crown of thorns. If this doesn't break your heart, they were cramming a crown of thorns on the one that saved us. They had ripped the flesh from his back. They were killing the very thing that breathed life into them. And Jesus, it says if he would have just thought it, that was the most greatest action of meekness. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is power under restraint. And he's hanging on the cross. And his children, imagine being on a cross and your kids sticking a spear in your side and mocking you and throwing dice, betting on when you're going to die. Imagine wearing that pain. And he says, God, forgive them. How many people have wronged you in your life that have brought destruction in your life, that have stuck a spear in your life, that have crammed crowns of thorns upon your head that you need to say, God, forgive me for not forgiving them. Forgive them because they do not know what they do. Because when they come against you as a child of God, they come against God. This is the power of walking in the Spirit. It's not just so you walk freely, but it's so that others around you can experience the love of God. If your life doesn't bleed over into other people's lives so they can experience the compassion and the love of Jesus, I ask you to challenge yourself to begin to walk in alignment with Christ. Thank God someone loved Jesus enough. They didn't love me enough. They loved Jesus enough to say, brother, I'm going to walk beside you, because if you'll get just a dose of this, of the relationship that I have with Jesus, it'll transform your life. And it brought me from being an adulterer. It brought me from being an addict. It brought me from being in the pits of hell. When I give my life back to the Lord, I'm very transparent. I'm going to tell y'all things about me you probably don't want to know. I don't care, because if it changes one person in here tonight, it's worth it. I'd been up for 5 days on crystal meth. My dad was inviting me to the church. I'd been chasing cows all over the country. And I crawled to the altar of a little Baptist church in Alto with my old pastor standing up there with dope in my hands. And I laid it on the altar. And I said, I can't do this no more. I don't know what to do. And he picked me up and he reintroduced me to the love of Jesus. Some of y'all in here need to be introduced to the love of Jesus tonight. Because walking in the Spirit is not a bad thing. It's life-changing. Now God gives me the privilege and the opportunity and the responsibility to come beside a sister like this and say, hey, pick your head up. Jesus has something for you. To pick you and say, Patty, God's not done with you yet. Joanna, God's got a plan for you. It doesn't matter what happened yesterday. God wants to do something in your life. And he wants your life to reflect and influence the people that are around you. That's the power of walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is not as much for us as it is for us, but it is for everybody else around you. So this is the equation. If you write this down, it's not in your notes. I'm gonna read this slowly. But this is the equation. This is how do I do this? When I consistently choose to follow God, and deny my flesh. When I consistently choose to follow God and deny my flesh, I find it easier to obey God, and I get to experience abundant life. That's it, guys. That's the equation to get you to where you're needing to go. That's the equation, that's the statement that I have to have every day of my life. When I consistently choose to follow Jesus and deny myself, I find it easier to obey God, and I get to experience the abundant life. If you're not living the life abundantly in here tonight, if you're walking around and you're saying, well, my life doesn't look like yours. My life isn't as good as yours. Your life is your life. My life is my life. Every one of us have the opportunity to experience the abundant life. Jesus didn't die on the cross for Justin Lindsay. He died on the cross for Justin Lindsay and everybody, everybody that was willing to accept him. If it's for me, it's for you. If it's for you, it's for your neighbor. If it's for your neighbor, it's for their neighbor. Jesus' blood was so powerful and so complete, it wasn't just for the, it wasn't for the righteous, it was for the unrighteous. So how do we do this? How do we do this? Let's look at Romans 6, 12 and 18. I'm going to go through this scripture pretty quick, but it's so important because this is how we do it. This is what it says. Romans 6, 12 through 18. It says, that means you must not give sin a vote in the way you conduct your life. Don't give sin the time of day. Don't even run little errands that are connected with that old way of life. Throw yourself wholeheartedly and in full time. Remember, you've been raised from the dead into God's way of doing things. Sin can't tell you how to live. After all, you're not living underneath that old tyranny anymore. You're living in the freedom of God. If you have Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, whether you know it or not, you have the freedom of Christ. And if you don't feel like you have the freedom of Christ, it's because you're not walking in it. You're not walking in what was given to you. Then it goes on to say, so since we're out from that old tyranny, does that mean we can live any old way that we want? Absolutely not. Since we're free in God, can we do anything that comes to mind? No. God says, because of what I did. Because I bared your cross, because I defeated sin, I defeated the grave, and I took your cross that you weren't able to bear. He says, certainly, certainly not. Why would you want to continue to live like hell when I'm calling you to live like me? What Jesus did on the cross, if he never did another thing for us, is all the reason in the world to say, God, I'll follow you. I'll be like you. I'll pursue you. Because what he did on the cross was eternal. So how do we do this, guys? How do we do this? It says, offer yourself to the ways of God and the freedom never quits. Is there anybody in here tonight that needs some freedom? One person in here, I'm being serious. That's why we have Encounter. I need to be freed up some things in my life. And if you're not willing to tell God, I need some freedom, how can you walk in it? Does anybody in here tonight need some freedom? Thank you. You have to be willing to say, God, I need freedom. Vulnerability and transparency is your friend. I'm not telling you to tell everybody what you've done, but you've got to be bold enough to say, I need to change. I need Jesus in my life. I got the microphone and I'm telling you, I need to change in some areas. I need Jesus to change some things in me because I've got some ways of thinking that'll drag me back into my old ways if I don't. Amen? Some of y'all have some old ways of thinking right now that the minute you leave here, the enemy's going to say, he wasn't talking to you. He wasn't talking to you. That wasn't for you tonight. And God says, yes, it was, because if you would just give me the opportunity to lead your life, the results are something you can't even imagine. I can't believe that I'm getting to do what God's calling me to do. I cannot believe that God uses me to reach people that I never thought about reaching. I never thought that God would allow me to generously bless people in areas of financially, and I have no money. Ask my wife, you ought to be married to me. I'll give them all of it. It's all God's. But he's given me the heart and the desire to help people and to love people. And it's not because of Justin Lindsay, because I'm one of the most selfish people you'll ever meet, because I know me. But because of Jesus, and because I choose him daily, he gives me opportunities that I never thought possible. Number one, we got to go. Consider yourself dead to sin. Consider yourself dead to sin. Remember, sin's not the bait. It's the bite that is the problem. No longer allow sinful reactions, behaviors, and attitudes to be an option in your life. Romans 6 and 12 says, do not give sin a vote. I'm not telling you to be perfect. Do not read this scripture and say, well, I cannot live up to this. 1%. What if you changed 1% of your life every day? 1%. If you walked in a new way toward Christ, choose one a week. Imagine the difference that happened in your life. God's not calling us to perfection. If anyone here says, I've done too much, it's the enemy. You have not done too much. And it doesn't make a rat's tail what you did yesterday. God's calling you to do what God's saying, I have something new for you tonight for you to move forward in. Number two, surrender yourself to God. Surrender yourself to God. You have to willingly make all parts of your life available. How do I surrender myself to God? It says, God, your will, not my will, even if it doesn't make sense. The world, God is a reverse economics God. He says, you want to be blessed financially? Malachi says it. He says, give. The world says to take it. God says, give. The world says if you want to be victorious, then you have to go defeat what you want to be victorious over. God says, you want to be victorious? Surrender. Reverse economics. Because he's our power. God doesn't need you to go conquering something. He just needs you to surrender. He's already conquered everything. Guys, we're fighting from a position of victory. The battle's won. We're trying to conquer things and win things in our life that's already been won. And God says, why are you fighting that battle? I've already won that. Just surrender your life to me. And you'll experience victory and freedom like you've never thought possible. Let go of pride. Oh, whoa. You don't know what they did to me. There's no way I can do that. You're not going to tell me to do this. Okay. All pride is control. If you really study pride, it just means to elevate. It just means to elevate yourself above something. Be proud of who you are. But pride will destroy you. It destroyed me. I'm a big old strong boy. I promise you, there's not much I can't get my hands on that I can't move. But pride crippled me. It crippled me, and it'll cripple you. So how do we oppose pride? Number one, you got to give up control. Give up control. Just look real quick. Look what Proverbs 29, 23 says. I know I'm running a little behind. It'll be okay. Let go of pride. It says pride ends in what? Humiliation. Humiliation, while humility brings honor. I've been humiliated. I have no desire for humiliation no more because I've seen the destruction of pride. It brings humiliation not only onto you, but on your family, on your kids. Pride is a destroyer. But it says to give up control. Like we talked about, who is really in the driver's seat of your life? Who's in the driver's seat of your life? If you're driving that vehicle and God's the passenger, you're going the wrong way. You got to switch seats. He'll willingly take it if you willingly give it. But he will not pull that car on the side of the road and climb in that driver's seat. He will not kick you over. He says, I want you to choose. Number three, guys, you got to know your weaknesses. You have to know your weaknesses. The enemy knows your weaknesses. I promise. He knows your weaknesses. He knows mine. Good gracious, he knows mine. But he knows where you're weak and he will attack you where you're weak. How do I protect the areas that I'm weak? Surrender. You got to surround yourself with the Holy Spirit. You got to surround yourself with like-minded people. If you're struggling in your marriage, connect to some strong marriages. We got them all in the church. If you're struggling with anger, if you're struggling with fear, if you're struggling with anxiety, get plugged in on a Sunday morning. If you know your weaknesses, get in a group. That's what groups are for. Get in a group. Groups transform my life right here in this room around a round table with six guys changed the trajectory of my life forever. Get in a group. Midweek is on Wednesday nights. If you're going home on a Wednesday, and listen, I'm not trying to get in your business. I'm trying to help you because I love you. But if you're going home on a Wednesday night saying, I am just too tired, the enemy will use whatever. He doesn't care. Who's part of midweek in here on Wednesday nights? Is it good? Yes. Do you need to get refreshed in the middle of your week? Do you need a good connection? Do you need to be revived? Do you need your Thursday to feel like a Friday or a Saturday? Come to midweek. You don't have to do anything. Just show up. The cafe's open. I'm not trying to sell you midweek, but I am trying to promote freedom, community, and connections. Because it will change your life. So if you're sitting at the house on a Wednesday night on your couch by yourself, the enemy says, I got you right where I need you. Because there's nobody here to say, you know what, sister, me too, I'm dealing with that. You know what, brother, me too. Let's walk through this together. You got kids, drop them off at youth. We got kid works. There is no excuse. It's a 2 hour, was it 7 to 8:15? You get an hour, you can drop your kids off at 6. You get a 2.5 hour break. But if you want to use that 2.5 hour break to go do something outside of connecting with community, the enemy would love that. He'll make you, oh, that's a sell at Walmart. It'll be there tomorrow, I promise. Get connected, guys. And the last one on this one. No? Yeah. Make a choice. You have to make a choice. Make a choice. When we know the will of God but choose not to follow and obey, we are resisting the work of God in our life. Ephesians 4:30 says, do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit. When we do not walk in the Spirit, guys, we make the Holy Spirit grieve. We bring sorrow in His life. We bring sorrow in our life. Make a dadgum choice. Everybody's about choosing. Everybody's about, I want the power of choice. But what are you choosing? You're choosing one of the two things. And I can show it to you. There's nothing, you cannot bring me a choice. I'll stand up here all night. I don't care. You bring me every choice you have, and I can tell you one of two ways. You're either going to choose God or you're going to choose the enemy. There is no in between. There is not this gray area that says, well, I don't know. No, because God has specific ways of choice. What is your choice? You get to choose to go to the retreat. We're not going to make you. You get to choose to come to class. Let me tell you how powerful choice is. This is how powerful choice is. I have a beautiful wife and 3 kids, and if y'all don't never see my wife, you're gonna be like, how do you pull that? Twice. You're gonna say, what? What is wrong with her? You really will. My wife is hot. I hope she's listening. I could go get in my truck right now. I could put in drive. I could hit that loop. Never come back. That's how much power I have. I could choose to disappear and nobody ever see me again. My kids never know where their daddy went. My wife never know. My father never know. I could get in my truck. Drew Pierce is one of my best friends. Been with my best friends for 20 years. I could get in my truck and you never hear from me again. That's how much power I have in choice. You could get in yours and drive away from your family and they never, that's how much power you have in their choice. That's powerful. Nobody's going to stop me because I have free will. God will say, I'm here. But Justin, if that's what you want to choose, I'll let you have exactly what you want. You got to make a choice, people. But I'm telling you, if you will choose God's way, it will not return void. Even when it doesn't make sense, I promise you, there is no hope greater than to hanging on knowing all of this, hey, all of this COVID junk. Imagine if you were having to walk through it and not have a relationship with Jesus. But you know what? COVID didn't take my God by surprise. He's still in control. He is still in control. COVID didn't sneak up and he'd be like, oh, whoa, hang on a second. Where'd that come from? Make a choice. I choose to hang my hope in my life, regardless of what people say, in Jesus. Because man has let me down my entire life and Jesus has never, ever, ever, ever forsaken me. Ever. It's not in his DNA to fail. He doesn't know how to fail. He's already done all the work. I just have to walk in the freedom that he's offered me. And then choose the last one, guys. Choose to walk in the Spirit, not the flesh. Make the choice. make the choice tonight. Real simple, real quick, guys. I want to give you just a tool to put in your toolbox. I'm going to take 3 minutes of your time, and I'm going to let you get with your tables. Just a touch of what it would, of a tool that will change you, and it's prayer and fasting. Just real quick, fasting and prayer helps us walk in the Spirit and live a life of alignment. I'm going to give you these real quick. The next one, the case, the structure of fasting is disconnecting from the world. Prayer is connecting to God. Fasting combined with prayer produces powerful results in our life. I want to simplify this for you real quick. I'm sure everybody in here has heard of fasting and prayer. Listen, number one, if you're saying, I don't know how to pray, it's a conversation with God. That's it. Just talk to him. There's no God. There's no rules to it. He already knows what you need. He just wants you to talk to him. Just talk to him. That's all prayer is. Quit complicating prayer. Just talk to Jesus. He's pretty good at figuring out our lives because he blew the breath in our lungs. He knows what's going on in our life. Just talk to him. And it doesn't matter if you're in the closet on your knees, if you're driving down the road, if you're in the shower, if you're on the toilet. I don't care where you're at. Just talk to God. And then prayer is just saying, God, I'm going to give up something that pleases my flesh, and I'm going to replace it with you. If you've got some areas in your life that's stuck, the word says when the disciples come to him, they couldn't heal this guy. And he says, how did you do that? He says, some things only come through prayer and fasting. I'm not telling you to go on a 21-day Daniel fast or to go 40 days without water, and don't do that. Unless you know 100% fact that it's Jesus telling you to do a 40-day complete fast, don't do it. It may be social media. It may be one meal a day. It may be a certain type of food. I don't know. That's between you and God. But if you're dealing with some areas in your life that says, I am stuck, I have prayed about this, I don't know what to do next, prayer and fasting. And listen, if you need some resources on prayer and fasting, it's in the back of the book. We're fixing to look at that. And if you have questions about prayer and fasting, talk to your table host. That's what they're here for. Listen, this team prayed and fasted for you a whole week before you ever stepped foot in this class. And this team, starting at the end of next week, will pray and fast for every single one of you going to the retreat to divert the enemy's attacks and to open an alleyway and open a lane for you to walk in what God has for you. We will battle for you in prayer and fasting, but we also ask you to do it yourself. And I'm not telling you how to do it. If you have questions, ask your table host. Heck, if you got my number, call me. I'll tell you how to do it. But we have some resources in the back. So what we're going to do real quick before we close out. Hang on a second. I just had this quote sent to me. You don't think God ain't good? About fasting. It says, fasting, I'm going to strengthen my no. My N-O, so I can strengthen my K-N-O-W no. Come on. I'm going to strengthen my no. I'm going to say no to that meal right there. I'm going to say no to Facebook or Twittergram, Instapot, whatever it's called. I'm going to say no to that so I can strengthen my K-N-O-W. Because there is nothing that any social media platform can give you that's more potent and more powerful than the beloved, blessed, pure, strengthening word of God. I am going to weaken my no so I can strengthen my K-N-O-W. There's some of y'all in here tonight that are needing some answers. There's some of y'all in here tonight that are hurting so bad you're just barely hanging on. There's some of y'all in here saying, God, if I just knew, I just challenge you to destroy your no so you can strengthen your K-N-O-W. We're going to take just a little bit of time. An appendix in the back, it's Appendix D. Your book says Appendix C. Sorry, I got one of the appendix out of order and it's messed the whole book up. But y'all just be patient with me. These big old fingers are not really good on a computer. All right? You need some brush hauled off or a big log picked up, I'm your guy. If you want typing lessons, don't come see me. It's Appendix D. All right, we're going to take about 10 minutes as we wrap up tonight, and then we're going to come back, take about 10 minutes with your table, and let's go through this activity in the back.
Of our heart tonight. I'm pulling on joy from heaven's reserve. He stored up enough for every winter I'm served. I'm seeing beyond my circumstance. This joy that I have is my inheritance joy. This is the joy of the Lord. The chorus says, the joy, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy, oh the joy of the Lord is my strength. Oh, the joy, the joy of the Lord is my strength.
There is a Savior in the valley place. He's walking beside me and he knows my pain. God lives.
Take it home. The only way the world
take it off. The only way things happen is if we put on strength.
Put on strength.
Put on joy.
Put on joy.
Put on love.
You put on love.
And don't take it off. Don't take it off. Don't take it off. We won't take it off. We commit today. We won't take it off. We won't take it off. We won't take it off. We commit today. We won't take it. I've decided
I won't take it off.
We won't take it off.
We won't take it off.
There's a dying world.
We won't take it off.
Looking for hope.
We won't take it off.
We won't take it off.
We won't take it off.
Oh, the joy of the Lord.
We won't take it off.
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 We've decided we won't take it off.
Won't take it off. Take it all. The joy of the Lord won't take it all. Peace of the Lord, he won't take it all. Power of the Lord, he won't take it all. Yeah. Strength of the Lord, he won't take it off. Spirit of the Lord, he won't take it all.
Flesh to save the lost, grace and mercy displayed upon the cross, our redemption. He's the hope for all mankind, one name over everything, one name over everything.
Two more minutes, guys, and we'll wrap up. Two more minutes. All right, guys, I want to be an honor. I want to honor your time this evening. I love the conversations around the table. I want to do something. First of all, but before I move on, if in that appendix, you can keep going at the back of Appendix D. There is an area for you to write out a fast, okay? And it's when I do mine, like I'm a big proponent of fasting, and so when I fast, I write out what I'm doing, and I also write out my goals. What am I fasting for? Because when I write that out, what I do is I begin to fast. I begin. It's crazy when I write my fast out and I say, God, this is what I'm gonna do. And I really spend time in prayer about it. I just don't say, hey, I'm gonna start fasting today. I spend time in prayer about what God wants me to fast and how long He wants me to fast. And I begin to set up a plan. And I also write out this is the what I'm seeking God in. And it is absolutely amazing at how many times God has showed up and answered these prayers through prayer and fasting, and just the connection that I walk away. It's not just about God answering prayers. It is this deeper connection because we're disconnecting our flesh and in the world. We're disconnecting something and we're connecting even deeper with God. And there's just there's something so powerful about that intimate time with Christ. And so I just encourage you to use it, guys. And like I said, use your table host as resources. But I want to do something. I truly feel this on my heart. If you will, just ask that everybody just bow your head as I close out. And before we move forward, I believe there's someone, I believe there's somebody in here tonight that says, you know, I just don't know that I've made that decision to follow Jesus. And I don't want to go another step without giving you the opportunity to say, I not only want Jesus, but I need Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. And if that is you tonight and you're sitting there and you're saying, no, listen, nobody's looking, all heads are bowed, and you're saying, I just have to know, I just want to know, I want to receive Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I know I can't do this on my own. And I know I need a relationship with Jesus, and I don't understand everything, but I know my next step is asking Jesus to be my personal Lord and Savior. I ask that you just gently raise your hand. Thank you for the ones that made that commitment. Now I want one other thing. There's some of y'all in here tonight, you may have been walking a Christian walk for a long time. There's some of you in here tonight that's just drifted. And I want to give you the opportunity to say, you know what? God really spoke to me tonight. And it's time for me to engage for the first time or the first time in a long time. I know Jesus is my personal Lord and Savior, but I need to redirect my life. And I need to make some change, and I need to get aligned, and I want to recommit my life to what God's calling me to do. And if that's you tonight, I ask that you boldly just lift your hand and says, I need to make that commitment tonight. Hands up all over the room. Thank you so much. God sees you where you're at. Not only does God see you where you're at, He wants to meet you where you're at. And I'm so proud of the ones that have made the decision to follow Christ tonight. Listen, the Bible says that when one comes to salvation, it says that the heavens throw a party. It says the heavens throw a party. There is a party in heaven right now because two says, I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior tonight. There is a party in heaven. God says, I'll leave the 99 for the one. He says, I'll leave them every day because I'm after the one. You're the one. You're the one. You're the one. We are the one that Jesus will passionately pursue with everything He is, but with a tenacious desire because He loves us so much. So congratulations to the one that made, the two that made that choice tonight that says, I forever have changed my eternity and Jesus Christ is my personal Lord and Savior. The heavens are throwing a party for you right now. And then the ones that made that commitment, you've made a choice tonight that God is pleased with, and God will honor and show you favor. And I challenge you and I encourage you, do not leave that decision sitting in that seat. You take that decision with you because God has created you to be a world changer. And allow God to redirect your life and set foundation up underneath your feet to be what God's called you to be. I'm going to close this out in prayer and we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you, God, that some of your children come home tonight. That's something celebrating. That's something worth a praise. Can we give God a hand for the ones that chose Jesus Christ tonight? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. That your children are coming home, and God, the ones that made the commitment, God, I pray favor over them. God, I pray vision over them. God, I pray you speak to their hearts. And God, there's some in here tonight that may be teetering on the do I need to recommit? Am I good? Do I need salvation? God, we just thank you for meeting them right where they're at. And God, I thank you for empowering this class to go out and be what you've called them to be. God, I pray protection over this class. I pray protection over their finances, over their health, over their homes, over their children. I pray for them mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. God, I pray that your hedge walk with them, God, and that as we walk throughout our week this week, God, we say, you know what? I want to walk in the Spirit. I want to align. I'm going to choose you daily. God, give me someone in my life to make an impact that maybe, just maybe, maybe that they just maybe see Jesus on me and it changed their life too. And God, I pray that the ones that are sitting here tonight debating, is this retreat really for me? God, I pray that you destroy that confusion. You destroy that distraction. And God, that you give them the means. God, who give them the desire, even though it may be a little uncertain, a little unknown, to know that they're safe, that they're protected. And God, that they can move forward in faith in you, that you have something very, very unique for them in this season. Thank you for the opportunity to share your word tonight. We love you. Praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys. We are 2 weeks away from the retreat. We got weeks 4 and 5. It's getting close. I'm getting excited. Thank you for being here tonight. Love you guys. Enjoy your Monday off tomorrow night. There's college football on tonight. Notre Dame plays. Go home and watch a ball game. Shadows,
step out of the gray. Break into the wild. And don't be afraid. Run into wide open spaces, graces waiting for you. Dance like the weight has been lifted, graces.